Apparently, when Bantu was once asked what women need in the spiritual life, but I think this applies to men too, I'm sure, his response was confidence. You know, confidence is incredibly important, I think, in terms of our spiritual paths and lives. And obviously, it's something that I think can be communicated, and we can communicate as well for others. I wanted to start by saying something in terms of my sort of path into this, and particularly in relation to the three jewels and confidence in the three jewels, so the three jewels of the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. And because when I first came along to Tri Ratna, WBO as it was then, which was in 1990, I was very much drawn by interest in meditation. I was fascinated by the sort of the human mind and the human potential, and that there was more to it all than we could first sort of see. So I think that, in a way, it was very much the Buddha jewel that first drew me in. We all have different ways in. I went on a short retreat and I learnt to meditate, and it was a great way to learn to meditate. It was a retreat in Nepal, and I was trekking before and after it, so it was a fantastic way to first engage with meditation, and it was much easier than coming along on the Holloway Road in an evening sort of thing. But even then, and I really took to meditation, I really loved it, I felt really energised, and like somebody had filled me up with electricity and sent me home with a battery charger that I could charge myself up again. It was all fabulous. But even then, I think it was 2 to 3 years before I had a regular meditation practice that was maintained. You know, I would meditate for a while and then it would start to drop off, and then I'd go on retreat and get it back again, and I'd come along to the old North London Centre on a Thursday night and get energised, and then I'd meditate on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, maybe Monday, not Tuesday, not Wednesday. So I had that sort of pattern for quite a long time before it became completely established as a regular meditation practice. And that's partly about learning through experience. So it's that confidence or the faith in meditation that comes from just doing it and seeing the effects of it over and over again. And that's what built my confidence in meditation, and which I've never lost, really. And with the Dharma, you know, I never meant to be a Buddhist. It wasn't about the Dharma. It wasn't about that. But it was just because I was going along to a Buddhist centre and people kept giving Buddhist talks, and so it was like sort of being drip-fed. And then eventually I realised, you know, then it sort of started to make sense, and then it started to make a bit more sense, and then it was like, oh, right, okay. And then having this incredible sense of sort of gratitude to it, and and eventually sort of recognising or acknowledging that I was Buddhist. But I think for me the Sangha jewel probably was the last one for me to really appreciate. You know, when I first started going on retreat, I remember meeting somebody who's now still one of my best friends, Dhammagita, and we met at Taraloka, and we walked on the canal together, and we were like, yeah, this is all very well, you know, take what you need, you know, give what you can, but we're not going to join. Don't want to join anything. You know, and then I went to her mitra ceremony, and then she came to mine, and then I went to her ordination, and then she came to mine. But so we did both join. But I also remember very consciously at some point really recognizing and feeling a lot of faith and confidence in the Sangha, in the community, and particularly in terms of being on retreat. I think it was particularly when I was on retreat at Tiruvannaloka, which is where women go in the ordination process. And having a sense that I was, you know, sort of swimming downstream with the Dharma, but that I wanted to be, I needed to be accompanied by other people who were doing that too, you know, to be. So that was the image I had of very much swimming downstream with all these other people that were going in the same direction, the desire to be connected with and surrounded by other people who were taking practice really seriously, and has very much confidence in that. And also I think in terms of with all three jewels, really, confidence in that, there was very much a sense, particularly when I had two small children and I was going on retreat, and I'd go on retreat about once a year probably, and just being there and being so grateful and just thinking, well, I'm so grateful. It was always really, really hard to get away, drag myself away, and then being there and just being so grateful for having this context where I could go and sort of re-engage and get some sanity. So partly this idea of, this sense of confidence that comes from experience. There's a huge emphasis in Buddhism, particularly in relation to confidence in faith, that it's not about a sort of a blind faith, that it's not about just being told, you know, this works, this is the way things are, but it's very much about testing and experiencing things in our own experience. And so one of the aspects of that, I think, in terms of confidence, particularly when we're looking at the five, you know, the system of practice, the five elements of it, and maybe looking at the sense of both integration and positive emotion. I mean, I think one of the things that built my confidence is where you can sort of see the effect in terms of how you change in, you know, and one of the things for me particularly is that I have quite a strong conditioned tendency to irritability and irritation and impatience. And that's one of the things that I've always had to work with most in terms of patience as a practice. And I think, you know, and we'll all have our own different tendencies to whatever they are. And, and I think then it's part of confidence comes from really just noticing how we are and noticing how we respond in different situations. And, so I haven't got rid of that one completely, but it's a lot weaker than it was. I'm better at a sort of bottom line of, I think when we can become aware of our experience, we can become aware of it, because I think I used to feel that I was a nice, calm person without any irritability. So first of all, sometimes you notice what actually the tendencies are, and that then obviously enables us to work with them, to integrate them more into sort of a sense of who we are. And within that, one of the useful things I find is that, as a bottom line, is that if I notice it arising and catch it, you know, sometimes it's possible to really turn towards and just feel it on the level of sensation, and then it is seen to be just insubstantial and goes. And other times that doesn't happen, and then I have to go into don't make it any worse mode as a bottom line. Don't say anything bad. So that's part of confidence, is noticing how we change. I wanted to say sort of about three different aspects of meditation and that are important in terms of confidence. And one of them is sort of the sense of concentration within the meditation. So concentration, so that's when our mind starts to settle, our body starts to settle, there can be a sense of, you know, well-being settling. And it may or may not, it'll be different for all of us. Sometimes it's very easy for people to access a sense of being concentrated in concentration states in meditation, and sometimes it's not. But I think it's important to be aware of it, and also, that where there are senses of becoming a bit more settled, becoming a bit more concentrated, being aware of that and able to acknowledge it, turn towards it, allow it to be there, appreciate it, because that can help then to for that to be a bigger part of our experience. And it can be really important in terms to have, you know, that sense of concentration in meditation when it does arise, because it can help. Well, partly because it helps stabilize the mind. So sometimes the mind's like that all over the place. And so if you imagine trying to video something with a camera that's doing that, it's going to come out ever so shaky. So in order to sort of see clearly, in order for really for insight practice, it's quite helpful to have the mind settled and concentrated a bit. And it can also, when our mind is more concentrated in meditation, or even out of it, it can help promote the sense of integration. And we talk about that both on the level horizontally and vertically. And horizontally is that sometimes we can experience ourselves as a bit of a bundle of different beings, you know, and sometimes we're not even aware of what some of those are, like this angry person here or this irritable one here, you know, that's, you know, not necessarily aware of. So it can help. If experiencing, you know, being settled in meditation or more concentrated can open us up so that we can allow more of those aspects of ourselves to be present. It's almost like you don't have to necessarily change things or get rid of anything. It's more that we can become bigger so that all of those different aspects of ourselves can be integrated and present. And also sometimes with vertically, what it means is you probably will have had experiences sometimes where you're meditating or just a bit quiet and spacious, and it's like something pops up from the depths or from the heights, and it's suddenly like, ooh. It's also, you know, where we get a sense of well-being or even, sort of joy, happiness, peace in meditation. It can be a very, it can just give us a bit of a break from feeling oppressed by our minds and stressed out, which is quite nice. And give us a bit of robustness and balance. Because it's not easy, the spiritual life is not necessarily an easy path to tread, so it can be very helpful to have that as a sort of basis for experience. And there are different there are sort of different levels of concentration that we can go into in meditation, which I'm not going to go into particularly. But one of the things I wanted to touch on as well in terms of meditation is that in order to really investigate experience, look at reality directly in meditation, we don't need a high level of concentration. So all we need really is just to settle the mind a bit, and then so it doesn't. If the mind doesn't become very settled, it doesn't matter at all. So we can use meditation quite explicitly, like I was talking at the beginning about being clear of the purpose of meditation, and then you have the sort of settling samatha meditations, and also meditation looking directly at our experience around insight, looking directly at the nature of reality, of the way things are. And that we can also do very easily in our own experience by just looking at, for example, you know, as leading the meditation just now, you can drop in inquiries when the mind is a little bit settled, for example, around sound, when you're looking at sound, opening to sound, and just looking in experience of, is there a hearer in there and a sound out there? Where's the barrier between the two? You know, Buddhism teaches us that there isn't a sort of a fixed self in here, hearing things, processing things. And you can use that space when the mind is just slightly more settled. It doesn't have to be really settled, but just not pulled all over the place, to simply turn attention to those to that sort of inquiry, looking in terms of, for example, sound. Is there a boundary between the two? And the same, you know, when you're noticing thoughts, I was leading that, noticing thoughts, that when you turn the attention to thoughts, and you might also look at, well, where are they coming from? You know, is there, are they, am I intentionally generating them? If so, how is that happening? Can you tell in your direct experience where the thoughts are coming from? Or do they seem to just arise? And, you know, do they, are they really as substantial as they first look? So it can be quite interesting just to turn attention to our experience and investigate it directly when the mind is a bit settled. And you will probably all have had experiences, whether in meditation or out of meditation, or will have them, where you sometimes see that things are not quite as fixed or absolute as they, we maybe assume they are, we have a view that they are, that we see more directly that things are less fixed, less substantial, more in flux. We see more directly that sense of things arising, independence on each other. And it can be helpful just to note those and to notice what's happening, to talk to people about them. Yeah, so it's concentration, and then using meditation for that sort of insight inquiry. And also I wanted to talk a bit in terms of confidence around faith, because and you know, faith, I mean, confidence can be used as a way, you know, to talk about faith as well. But one of the quote I had I found, which was really nice in terms of faith, is talking about it as it's the emotional response of what is ultimate in us to what is ultimate in the universe, which is really nice. The emotional response of what is ultimate in us to what is ultimate in the universe. So it can be, it's in the sense of it being an intuitive, emotional, and even mystical response to what's of ultimate value. And in that sense, it's our capacity to be emotionally moved by something that in a way transcends the rational mind. So it's wherever you get a sense of being somehow touched or moved or engaged, where it's not, you know, you might think it's, well, it's not what I'd normally do, or why is this happening? This isn't me. It's, or the sense of it's beyond what you can rationally see, but there's a sense of yeah, just being touched, emotionally engaged in it. Yeah, so in the sense of sort of faith in the three jewels. But yeah, and but very much there's a sense of an emphasis in Buddhism on faith is not blind. It's very much built on experience. So it can be, like I was saying at the beginning, of that sense of meditating over years and building that knowledge in ourselves, that direct experience ourselves, that it's changing us, that it works. But also faith can arise out of suffering, out of dukkha, out of unsatisfactoriness. And it can very much lead to a sense of commitment to practice. And, yeah. So another sort of nice quote that I wanted to end on really is a sense of so faith is natural, doubt acquired. So faith is natural and doubt acquired. So one of the ways that I really like to see it is that you know, what we're doing in practice is sort of seeing through and removing any of the things that get in the way of practice. We don't actually need to create or generate anything. It's more just we're taking away all of the things that get in the way, all of the obstacles to practice, all the different views and things we hold on to that get in the way. So, yes, faith is natural, doubt acquired. And I think confidence and faith are synonymous. So it's confidence in the path. So I'm going to stop there. There's a few things thrown out around confidence in the path. And what we'll do is we'll have a cup of tea, which will probably be for about 20 minutes. So we'll come back up here again about 9:15, and then I'll explain what we're going to do at that point.